Today, text is from the New Testament in Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. Our text is found in our ESV Bible in the pew is 1,236. We've been studying on five solas, and we know that that's not just only five. We can talk more about that, but 1517 and October 31st, Martin Luther nailed the 95th thesis to stand against the false teaching of the Roman Catholic Church and their first false gospel, and then that started our Reformation. It's still going on, I believe. So we, based on our history, we've been studying on five solas. Today will be the last day we will be looking at the last one. Glory to God alone. And our text is from Galatians chapter 2, 15 through 21. And before reading our scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this great opportunity to review the history of Christianity, what happened in our church history, what happened the reformers had done for your kingdom. Thank you for giving them your wisdom, and thank you for giving them your scripture, and thank you for helping them to realize that nothing but only Christ alone, and grace alone, and faith alone from the scriptures. Lord, we are ready to look at the last one today. Glory to God alone. Would you help us to give our hearts to you this morning so that we all together will give you glory. And as we are looking at all different solas today, and help us to understand your word from Galatians, and also help us to focus our minds and hearts and everything, nothing but on Christ. So many things are happening around us, but help us to forget everything, but remember only our Christ right now. Bless our hearts. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. This is the word of God. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I build what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. This is the word of God. Now here in our text, we see that Paul begins his letter to the Galatians. A little bit difficult language is here found. But when he started in chapter 1, he says like this, "Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." Wonderful blessing. And in verse 4, "Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and the Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Beginning was really good. This short verses from chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, describe that Paul's heart and his passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Simply saying, the gospel is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about grace and peace from God. It's not from somewhere. We've been looking at these things, grace and peace from God. And that is will of God too. God has started, not somebody and someone else, no humans. It's all about Jesus Christ. Paul says, who gave his life for our sins, which means the redemption happened and salvation came to us, and that's a saving grace through his sacrifice. Therefore, and Paul says in chapter 1, we praise God, we give him glory. Very logical. We got everything from God. Now our job is give him glory. The gospel from Paul's teaching is the central theme of the book of Galatians that we're going to look at today. Now, Paul's gospel did not come from human resources like other religions that we see and we hear, but from Jesus Christ. He mentioned that in our book in chapter 1, 2. And then Paul mentions twice in our chapter 2 the truth of the gospel that he received from Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted to say to the congregation, from Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel. However, Paul changed his tone a little bit in verse 6, chapter 1 and verse 6, right after that. He said, I am astonished and stunned that you are so quickly deserting him. And who called you in the grace of Christ and now are turning to different gospel? In verse 9, it said, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, this is so scary, let him be accursed. What happened to the Galatians? What was about a different gospel they have it that Paul talked about in chapter? Now, if you read Paul's letters, you will see that what happened to Paul and whenever he traveled and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, many people followed him and heard about the Jesus Christ. They became Christians. But after that, Jewish Christians also came along and they were with him. And after him, they brought lots of troubles. I can say they were troublemakers after Paul's gospel. Now, Paul's gospel was the gospel of Jesus Christ, pure gospel, the gospel of God's grace. Now, Jewish Christians added more, adding the teaching of the law. Now, Jewish Christians brought the importance of keeping the law. And the Jewish Christians taught Gentile Christians must submit to Jewish law to receive God's salvation perfectly. Now, so the Galatians were now receiving their teachings, and they are trying to going back into the slavery of the law again. That's what Paul saw. That was totally wrong. That's happening in chapter 1. And in our text, including chapter 2, now here Paul points out that even Jews were not saved by keeping of the law. That's verses 11 and 14. But by faith in Christ alone. Basically saying to the Jewish people, you are bringing the teaching of the law, adding more burden onto the Gentile Christians. But remember that we as Jew, we are not saved by keeping of the law, but Christ alone. We are all sinners, and all the sinners are justified, nothing but in Christ alone, who have died to the law. That's what Paul's teaching. And Jewish Christians brought the circumcision and food laws, lots of things. Those things we don't need anymore because we are justified in Christ. Now we will see that Paul was very serious about the death of Christ. In verse 21, we'll be talking about later, but he says, if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Are you guys preaching about teaching of the law, then why Christ died in that sense? In chapter 1, Paul mentions about the false teachers in verse 7, and he says that they were not even Christians at all. That's kind of scary. Even chapter 6 and 17, I'll try to look at all the things, what happening there. But chapter 6 and 17, Paul says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. Please remember, no cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Even Paul shares what happened to him when he was in Peter and in Antioch in verses 11 and 14. And that's our previous verses. And he says, when Cephas came to Antioch, which is Peter, I opposed him to his face. Why? Because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically and then along with him, and so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So all these things that happened before, and now Paul is talking about. Now what? Faith alone. In verse 16. Now Paul teaches that justification comes through faith alone, faith in Jesus Christ, that we already started a few weeks ago. Alan Ulmer preached about that. In verse 16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Now hear the word justification. That means in Greek culture, it is related to the law court and the act of vindication. Someone proving the innocence of a person proves that no guilt, nothing happened. So Paul uses this word to teach people and us what God had done for us, to render a favorable verdict for us, to forgive our sins, free of charge before God. Justification happened only in Christ. This justification is not someone's act, but this is the act of God. We're not able to save. We're not able to do something, not able to justify ourselves to clear our sins, but through our faith in Christ, who died on the cross, and his death is a complete atonement of sins. So God brings all the sinners to before him into a new covenant that we just read from our beginning of the worship, Jeremiah chapter 31. New covenant relationship in Christ by forgiving our sins. That's why Martin Luther says, reaffirmed the doctrine of justification, and he said, faith alone, not by theology or works of the Catholic Church. That's all about 95th thesis. It's all about Pope and repentance. And it's not by theology or of indulgence, but faith in Christ alone we are justified. And John Calvin also understood that justification as the main hinge on which salvation turns. So without justification, it's not happening. We all know that no one can be justified before God. That we look at Romans chapter 3:23, all sinners we are. Here, no one means including both Jews and Gentiles. Now, Paul is speaking to his own people, Jews. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Although by birth Jews, they had the laws in their hands, in their memory, and in their hearts, they could not be justified before God. That's Paul's teaching. Their condition, better than somebody else. Their condition seemed, yeah, that's better than the Gentiles. But look at that. They were children of Abraham. They can say that we are God's people. They were the people of God's covenant from the Old Testament, like a Genesis 15 and 17, Jeremiah 31st. We are God's covenant people. They had all the privileges of being God's people. But Gentiles were excluded from all these benefits, all their privileges, so they can say we are better. Are Jews really better than Gentiles? Paul's answer was Romans 3:9. We looked at a few weeks ago. Are we Jews any better off? No, no, not at all, because we are all sinners. The scripture reveals that all the people in the world are sinners before God, and all sinners needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ to repent of their sins, to realize the forgiveness of their sins in Christ. So, justification is found only in Christ, period, through our faith in Him, period. That's why Paul says, not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. By works of the law, no one will be justified. In verse 16 again, we have believed in Christ Jesus in order that to be justified by faith in Christ. Simply, we can say, faith alone, from verse 16, we are justified. All Jews and Gentiles, all Koreans, Americans and Chinese people out there, we are justified, faith alone. Not by works of the law. Paul says here six times in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, three times in and even chapter 3 and chapter 5, he mentions that works of the law, human beings could not fulfill the teaching of the law. We cannot do that. But what we have from God, God gave us faith, faith alone, we are justified so that God declares us righteous. Now, Paul's teaching of faith alone in verse 16 that we just looked at is also about Christ alone as well. Now, Paul preaches that both Jews and Gentiles needed to be depend on Christ alone for justification. In verse 17 says, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ. And many commentators interpret this particular verse, understand like that. No one can find a true justification through the law. And true justification comes to you and me through only union with Christ. Once again, true justification that we have experienced the peace of God, and that comes to us through only union with Christ. That's huge words for us. The Paul's preaching of union with Christ is found in verses 19 and 20 that we will look at. And it says, for through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. And I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He goes again. He keeps going. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I memorized this verse in Korean, but I tried to memorize it. What? The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in. Wonderful verse. It's really wonderful, powerful. In the Son of God, I live, who loved me and gave himself for me. We know that the phrase union with Christ is not easy for us. Paul talks about this phrase union with Christ in Romans 6 as well. Maybe it will help us in order to understand this meaning, the union with Christ. Maybe we need to understand when we look at Romans chapter 6 separately. In order to understand the meaning of the union with Christ, we need to understand what Christ has done for us. What he has done for you. Jesus Christ has done all the work for us to fulfill the teaching of the law. He has finished the necessary work of salvation. We didn't do anything, but he did everything. Therefore, we know that we are saved not by our action, merit, performance, or good looking and good works and money, nor by merit or the saints, or nor by the tradition or church history, nor by authority of the Pope. Only Christ has finished all the work on the cross. The 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He fulfilled God's promises. And Christ gave you and me his life, his precious life, as a sacrifice for our sins. By the sacrifice of his death on a cross, Jesus Christ blotted out our horrible and nasty sins from God, before God. And he washed out all our sins away. That's why Hebrews 9 and verse 22, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Christ has to die for our sin. And his death is sufficient for all and efficient for the elect. That's what we reformers said. As sinners, we could not stand before God. We cannot lift our hands before God because we know our sins. We are horrible, but we have Christ. But in Christ, in Romans 5, it says, we now stand before God. That happened to us because of Christ. We are now God's people. John Calvin says, if we see salvation, we are taught by the very name of Jesus Christ, that he possesses it. Christ brings us salvation. So union with Christ, another meaning is in Christ alone we are saved. In our text, Paul briefly explains the meaning of the union with Christ. We can go to more, but in our text, we can say the first one, verse 19, died to the law. Paul tells about our relationship to the law. Breaking our relationship with the law and building up new relationship with our Christ. Romans 7 and 4, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. I love this verse. It goes all the way to, we may bear fruit for God. When we have union with Christ, it's our opportunity to bear fruits for God. It means no slave to sin, no slave to the law anymore. But we are belonging to God. We are belonging to Christ. Break yourself from the law and released from the binding authority of the law. But securely united with Christ, that is, died to the law. Christ redeemed you and me from the curse of the law. He already finished everything. Galatians chapter 3, 13. So there's no relationship with the law related to salvation. But Christ finished everything. Christ took the curse of our sins on the cross. So we died to the law. Jewish Christians brought the teaching of the law to the Gentile Christians. Think about Paul's anger. And if you go to chapter 3, he says, bewitched, and what happened to you? He's just anger just bursting out. Because he knew something. Because we united with Christ. Christ took the curse of our sins, all the teaching of the law on the cross. So, in verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It means simply not actually taking the real crucifixion, but spiritually our old self, even literally our old self was crucified with Christ. Romans 6:6. And we know that our old self was crucified with him. All self is gone in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. If you think that sin is still clinging to you and dragging you up, that's your feeling, but we are already in God's side. Don't be deceived by feeling and people are talking about what you're looking, what you're saying. We're not condemned. New creation in Christ. Even we are waiting. I have been crucified with Christ means we've been waiting for Christ. And then Paul says, if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Union with Christ, that simple phrase changes us every day, actually. Even our lifestyle, because we know our status. I'm not anymore part of this world, but I'm part of God's kingdom, united with Christ. That changes our lifestyle. That changes our thought process. Even the way we look at the world. We are no longer slave to sin and law, world, and we can say that Christ is my Lord, my Master, my Savior, my Redeemer, the way of life. We can declare that. Now we have a new worldview, and Christ is the King of Kings who reigns the entire universe, and we are His people, therefore we give Him glory. Glory to God. Paul declares his new status in Christ in our text. Especially verse 19 and 20, Paul uses the word live. Live in the present tense 5 times. In verse 19, he says, live for God. So it's different, right? No longer I who live, verse 20. These are all present form. And 20, Christ who lives in me. I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, in verse 20. Now we can see Paul's life has been dramatically changed. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. He lived for laws and traditions and other things and maybe honor. But now, he lives for God. No longer he was living for something, but he says, Christ is living in me. That's 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Even he said, although he lives in flesh, our flesh body, that sometimes we cannot resist all the temptations coming to us. But he said he is not anymore living according to this body and this flesh, but he lives, only lives by faith in Christ. Even we have these bodies. What a wonderful and powerful confession that we want to say before God. And Paul talks about his new life in Christ in our text today. Our old self completely has been replaced with a new self in Christ that happened to us. Now our sins were forgiven with God's grace, His immeasurable grace in Christ. Martin Luther said that we were bondage into Christ, the death and the devil, but not anymore. With the death of Christ, we are now bondage to Christ. You are belonging to Him. And God showed His immeasurable riches of grace to you and me. And God's grace was given to you and me. Therefore, we have now new life. New life in Christ, that's awesome. That happens every day. But it's not the end of the story. Here Paul emphasizes that his present life for God, now we are living for God's glory. Paul says that his life is now completely dedicated to Christ, the Son of God. We do the same thing, don't we? We should do the same thing for the rest of our life, no matter what. We live for God's glory. We have freely received His grace. Now it's time for us living for His glory. Brothers and sisters, we have the Bible, the Word of God. To know Him and to learn about Him. Faith is given to us as a gift from God. That's why we believe in Jesus Christ. No one is able to believe in Jesus Christ if God doesn't give to them a gift of faith. Now, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, all of us, while we were sinners. And Jesus Christ Himself is God's grace to us. Romans 3 and Romans 5 teaches that. Our sins are great, but His grace is greater. His grace is sufficient of us. Now His grace lives in us. And His grace is always overflowing us. Isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, how can we apply Paul's teaching? Well, I thought about it's okay to hear people saying, judging you and criticizing you, look down on you and throwing dirty looks. It's okay. It's okay. Why? We have His grace. Christ lives in me. It doesn't matter we don't have things that other people have. It doesn't matter we don't have things that we need, desperately need right now. It can be money, and can be health, it can be honor, and whatever you can call. It doesn't matter, we have His grace. Christ lives in us. Everything what we currently have is His grace and blessing. Thanksgiving is coming up. Think about that. Everything what we have is from God. Our jobs and friends and church and our houses and cars and everything. We read a Bible, Holy Scripture, for the glory of God. We keep the law now, right now, teaching of the law, not to be saved, but for the glory of God. Every day, wherever we go, we declare that I live for His glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, I want to finish my message today by reading together from the Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 86, that will be found from your gray hymnals. Page number is 901. Question number 86 is very practical to Christians, and a question is like this: we have been delivered from our misery that we've been talking about all 4 weeks, 5 weeks, by God's grace alone through Christ, and then not because we have earned it. The question begins here: why then must we still do good? Can you read it? Answer. To be sure, Christ has redeemed us by His blood, but we do good because Christ, by His Spirit, is also renewing us to be like Himself, so that in all our living we may show that we are thankful to God for all He has done for us, so that He may be praised through us, and we do good so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and so that by our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ. Can you say, I live for God? Our cadet boys always singing Tuesday, Wednesday, other Wednesday night, living for Jesus. We do good things. We keep the law. And we're living for God because we remember what we have. God gave you and me the Holy Bible. God gave you and me faith. God gave you and me Christ. God even gave you and me His grace. We have all. Now it's our turn to give Him back. That's glory. Therefore, brothers and sisters, go out there and declare that I now am living for Christ. I am living for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us these wonderful weeks that we looked on the five solas to learn about Reformed faith, what happened in the 16th century. Although it happens about 500 years ago, Lord, we want to carry those precious teachings of the Reformation. Please help us to remember You speak to us from the Scriptures, and help us to remember we live by faith, saved by faith in Christ. Help us to remember it's Christ alone and grace alone. Now it's our turn. We are doing everything. We're living for Your kingdom, for Your glory. Bless our hearts so that we can change this nation. We can change our neighbors. We can change the world with the power of the gospel. We pray Your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.